Five, four, three, two, one. I'm John Miglosh for the WDMA. We're going to be talking about digital advertising today and why print has staying power. Okay, so let's dig in. But first, Tom Fishburne with virtual reality. And Tom starts out, "So many apps are trying to get my attention. I can't stop looking down at my phone. Maybe the technology will get better," right? There's a setting, you know, for that. It's in the apps section, and it's called notifications, and you can turn them all off if you want to. Anyway, then they get to the VR headset, and it's all these apps are popping up on their in front of their face. Okay, so Scott Galloway says, It will officially be the most elegant final nail in the coffin of this sort of headset-driven VR consensual hallucination. If it's a headset-driven VR consensual hallucination, it not only includes the tech players, which means, you know, obviously Apple and other technology producers, but all of the brands that jumped in on the metaverse bandwagon in the last few years, mostly last year. Given the heft and influence of Apple's marketers, marketers will pay close attention to the latest VR news, even as brand investment in the metaverse plummets from the highs of 2022. Survey from Sitecore said 38% had redistributed investments from metaverse-related projects to AI-related projects. If you'd like help with that, I know somebody who's done thousands and thousands of machine learning marketing models by hand in the late hours of the night. Notably, Apple didn't use the words metaverse. Okay, but one Apple product manager described Vision Pro as your entire world is a canvas for apps. It's not your entire world, it's just what's inside that little headset. So marketers are now going to try and populate the canvas for apps, much like the gold rush to fill virtual reality with ads back in 2016. There's a Web 2.0 saying, if you're not paying for the product, then you are the product. And at $3,500, that headset is certainly getting paid for. But who benefits the most from consumers strapping monitors to their faces? It's a good reminder not to lose sight of the basics when getting excited about the shiny new thing. And also, marketing challenges of trying to connect with people in 2D don't magically go away in 3D. And I would say it's actually more challenging because the people interacting with 3D are there to play. You know, watch the Blue Shirt Guy movie. Okay, so I'm sure consumers will show up any minute now. That was in 2022. Welcome to our brand experience. In this virtual world, marketers can pretend that consumers who ignore their brands in real life will somehow want to engage with them in virtual reality. Yeah, right. That's a good one. That's from 2016. This has been hyped for, geez, you know, that's almost 8 years. Wow. And here's another one. I can't wait to experience a whole new internet when the metaverse is finally here. Blowout sale, 40% off. Want more content? Subscribe. Our privacy policy has changed, except we share data with third parties, except, yeah, right, exactly. Metaverse hype cycle from last year. This could be cool. I don't understand any of it, but it'll change the world and make us rich. Why isn't anyone buying our NFTs? We've invested so much already, we might as well keep going. Do we have to have this meeting in the metaverse? Yes. Okay, now here's news, and this is from Target Marketing, PI World. Vice Media files for bankruptcy and why it matters. And this is it's a pretty in-depth, detailed article about Vice. If you remember the Shed at Dulwich story, where a guy who was writing fake reviews and getting paid $20 a piece or $25 a piece to write the fake reviews decided to start a restaurant in London. And he got on TripAdvisor. He bought essentially a burner phone, and that's all you needed. You didn't really even need an address. And he started posting fake reviews of the food and ambiance of his shed at Dulwich. And within about 18 months, I think, he was the number one rated restaurant in London. And Vice carried the whole saga. It's a wonderful story. I think I have it around somewhere. I'll try and find it. One of the best indictments of digital, the whole digital world, that you can't tell what's real and what isn't real. That's part of the point of the VR headset, right? To mix reality and virtual. And interestingly, the Apple one, you can actually see through. So it can be augmented reality along with VR. As far as I know, I saw some videos on it. So digital media darling Vice Media was valued at $5.7 billion in 2017. And now it's filing for bankruptcy with a minimum bid of $225 million, which is a decline of 96% of its market value, according to news reports. Also, April 20th, BuzzFeed Media announced shutting down BuzzFeed News. Okay, it was founded in 2006. And it at one point had a value of $1.5 billion. And it was thought back then that digital media would come to dominate the market for advertising budgets, right? Fueling the digital companies, venture capital firms, and legacy media, they dolled out big dollops of money, rounding to the nearest $50 million. The future of the printing industry, on the other hand, seemed uncertain. R.R. Donnelley, the largest printing company in the U.S. for decades, had just split into three companies, one of which, LSC Communications, eventually filed for bankruptcy. Cenveno, another large, diverse printing company, had also filed for bankruptcy. So Vice Media was the voice of Montreal in 1994, but due to a legal dispute, they changed their name to Vice. Shane Smith, the founder and CEO, was a master at fundraising. Gavin McInnes was the chief editorial voice, and interestingly, he left in 2008 because he'd said some things that were, well, he said some things about minority groups. We won't say what he said or but anyway, so he left and founded the Proud Boys, which I know almost nothing about. I've heard mixed reviews of that. But anyway, a digital distribution deal done with CNN and then Vice Media arranged for Dennis Rodman to travel to North Korea. I didn't know that. And Vice was now making news rather than just reporting it. They landed a group of journalists inside of Iraq and Syria and during the terrorist occupation and Shane Smith told Rupert Murdoch that you got to get with it. You got to get into digital news. And so Rupert made out a check to $70 million, pushing the implied valuation to $1 billion. The money just flowed in and back out. But there was a dark side. They had a 22 rule. The 22 rule. Hire 22-year-olds, pay them $22,000 for the privilege of working at Vice, and then work them 22 hours a day. Drug use was reportedly rampant. The top executives enjoyed lavish perks, parties, and pranks. Shane Smith faced allegations of running a sexually abusive environment and stepped down as CEO. At one point, Vice was the 10th highest valued private company in America. But the shine had started to dull. Advertisers were better able to track who was watching Vice offerings. And we'll get into it in another. We got one more article, and it's going to explain this even more completely from Augustine Fu. and their viewers that they did could track were actually getting older. So Vice was no longer recognized as the cool brand by teenagers, and advertisers began to seek out other delivery channels to reach the new younger generation. Meanwhile, while digital media is not immune to market forces, the advertising dollars flowed over to social media and search engines. Okay, and but in the meantime, advertisers have retained their interest in print, and especially direct mail. And below, down below in the article, there's a deal log of mergers and acquisitions showing that investors and consolidators are back in the print game. And the Japs Olson deal, most recently, might be an example of that. So printed material will be there as the steady hand that delivers, while these crazy valuations and crazy shiny objects, like the metaverse, keep attracting all the money. Seems grossly unfair, but that's the way the world is. When the media companies own the media, they tend to promote the media. And when you're doing attribution, the media companies also want you to see how wonderful the attribution favors them. So here's a great article by Dr. Augustine Fu, who I consider a friend, because he's brought in this again, you know, in the same space of, are you kidding me? You're advertising digitally? You know, help your marketers declare independence from buying bad ads. And everybody loves a good deal. Everybody loves a good steal. But our low CPM, cost per thousand, means the price you pay divided by the thousands of people that see your ad. Are the low CPM ads even worth it? Even if you think fraud is priced in. And the charts at the bottom are just amazing. But Fu argues that procurement departments have increasingly stepped in to help digital marketers get better deals and better pricing for all things digital. But they're accidentally forcing their own marketers to buy bad ads. Mainstream publishers have real journalists and editors. Vice was actually a real journalist publication, it seems. But they have hard costs producing real journalistic content. Fake sites, however, plagiarize, and I would say that that's the main value of ChatGPT. When you plagiarize from one source, it's obvious. When you plagiarize from 100 sources, is it plagiarism? Well, it seems like it is. To me, it seems like it is. So when you plagiarize all the content or have no content at all, the purpose of these sites is entirely to make advertising revenue through trickery. Because they have no cost per content, they can afford to sell their ad inventory at very low cost per thousand. You may be requiring your marketers to buy more bad ads. When the CFO and the procurement departments add clauses that require discounts and guaranteed lower prices, they're forced to look for lower and lower priced ad inventory. And even if you don't buy from questionable sources, the big exchanges start to source more and more quantity of ads from no-name exchanges so they can compete, right? And these long-tail sites don't have enough human visitors, so they source all their traffic. They buy their traffic to show. And Dr. Fu actually did a study, I believe, on Vice Media and found that some huge percentage, more than a third, I'm sure, was bot traffic. They had massive viewership. They claimed everybody was watching it, and yet you never saw backlinks of people quoting Vice content. He pointed that out, and I think rightly so, which we didn't hear in that ad or in that article from Print Impressions over there previously. So by forcing the marketers and media agencies, the ad exchanges they buy from, to get lower and lower prices, CFOs are inadvertently increasing their own risk of getting ripped off by fraudulent digital ads. But marketers argue, we know there's fraud. But because we're getting such low prices, the fraud is priced in. So maybe the fraud is a third. Maybe the fraud is a half. But we're paying a tenth of what we used to pay for cost per thousand. Okay? The point they're missing is that they're buying 10 times the quantity. They have to buy 10 times the thousands of ads now. So they're still spending the same $30 cost per thousand, not saving any money. And buying $3 inventory means much more of the ad impressions are generated by bots, not humans. When you think the phrase, you get what you pay for, kicks in. Okay, unavailable. So in 2017, Procter & Gamble turned off $200 million in digital ad spend. They saw no change in business outcomes. In 2018, Chase reduced their advertising reach from 400,000 websites to just 5,000 websites, a 99% decrease, and they saw no change in business outcomes. Okay? eBay ran an experiment by pausing their digital advertising, and we'll show that down there. The blue-green line in the chart shows the number of visitors arising on the website from a paid link, and that dropped immediately. But note the red line. That's organic links. You know, I know people. I watch them, especially on their phone. You know, they'll say, open ebay.com. And it may use a link, or they may search, just say, you know, find ebay.com, and it'll bring up an ad, paid ad, and they'll click that paid ad. You know, I don't like people having to pay double. They had to pay for the search, and now they have to pay for the click. And so, consequently, I don't do that. I type in ebay.com. I don't do much searching on my phone. But if you're into your phone, you may pay double, make the advertiser pay double every time. Okay? So note the red line. Those users would have been on the site anyway. So here is the visitors via paid link. Advertising ceases. Donk. The paid revisitors went down to nothing, but the organic went up correspondingly. Okay? Now, there may be a halo effect that advertising provides, because you can see it declines, but we don't know the period either. It might be a seasonable adjustment or something else like that. Okay, let's see. Yeah, I can't really tell. It looks like from the first of, well, I don't know. I really can't read those numbers, sorry. 2015, I guess, but this is something like 2012. Okay, which is 10 years ago, so it may not be the same. Uber ran a similar experiment, turned off half their digital advertising. A great way to test, right? You don't have to do it all. Kevin Fritch, head of analytics at the time, said when the spend was cut in half, the red line, paid signups, dropped, but the blue line, organic signups, rose by approximately the same amount. And signups were not paid. They were just registering on the app. Note that the black line total signups didn't change at all. In this case, we know that paid signups were riddled. I don't know if they're paid. I mean, you might have to give them your credit card, but I don't think you had to pay until you got an Uber ride. So Uber is suing 100 mobile ad exchanges for the fraud. Okay, so here it is. Here's the payment we're paying. Cut it in half. Okay, the red line goes down, and the blue line, organic signups, went up. And the net was not changed that significantly. You know, that's just, I don't know, there's no scale on here, so you don't know what they're doing, whether they're trimming it or not. In the first slide below, a marketer compared, and this is like the first really, really valid test, massive quantities of low-cost ads in a programmatic channel. And they compared that to smaller direct buys and then very small buys on specific good publishers' properties. Okay, and so you can see the number, the CIRC number. Here's 45 million impressions that they bought for $256,000. Then they bought a direct buy of 9.6 million for $45. And then they bought a bunch of good publishers for just $17,000 and only 178, but their average... And their average CPM was much, much higher, okay, much, much higher. But when you compare that to how it did, okay, the cost per conversion, it was 275, 209 and 136. 8 times better than the programmatic ad. So, you know, of that 45 million, what if 90% are fraud? You know, you say, oh, on average, it's only 30% across the industry. Yeah, well, it depends on what you're buying. And if you're not buying carefully, that may be happening. That's what his point is. His point is you're better off with 178,000, you know, but when you go on Forbes or you go on other business, you know, when you go on other business publications, I go there every day, and you look at how many likes, how many comments there are, there's almost none. Real people don't hit like that often, right? Even on LinkedIn, I get, I don't know, 5 likes on average, and my impressions is about 500 a day, 400 or 500. If you're interested in advertising, though, we do have a spot. We can knock out ISSM, and we can put you right there at one or more shows per week. I would love to spend a little more to promote some of the shows and maybe even get some help. So if you're interested in promoting print in the sea of digital fraud, let me know. Happy to mention your company on a regular basis, especially if you're in print. I don't know what I'd do if Microsoft wanted to advertise. I don't know. It would be hard for me. Okay, so if you look at the eCPM, cost per start and efficiency, the real sites did much, much better. The new .com bubble is here. It's called online advertising. That's another article you can click on when you get to, if you download the PDF on WDMA.org. Have a great day. Like and share. I love your comments. Have a great day. I'll try to find that Vice article. It's a humdinger. Bye-bye.